chapter 4. Our text will begin in verse 20 down through verse 27. Familiar passage of Scripture for good reason. This is a good passage for us to consider, especially at this point in the year. Looking forward to what God has for us. One thing I meant to mention this morning was just the stickers that we had over there, just as a reminder of this year's theme. We try to do this every year just as something to collect through the years, through the whole 2 years that we've done it. but hopefully we'll be able to keep doing that. You can put it on a journal or on your favorite Tumblr or something like that, just to remind you to walk with God this year. And so wanted to make mention of those. We have more than what is out, so feel free to take all of those. We can replenish that. All right, so we're in Proverbs chapter 4, in verse 20, and Solomon says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, come to you at this moment, ask your blessing upon, Lord, this evening service. Lord, we've sung, and we've got many things going on tonight with the business meeting and such. And Lord, you know my mind is filled with numbers and figures and things as I prepared. But Lord, help us to set all of those things aside and give attention to our hearts. Give attention to the Word of God here out of Proverbs 4. Help us in that way, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This is the time of New Year's resolutions. Who would say, "I am a person who likes to make New Year's resolutions"? All right, a few of us. All right, very good. What do you think? Let me read just a few. 10 of the most reoccurring or most made New Year's resolutions. And what do you think is at the top of the list? What do you think? Lose weight. That's number 2. And the first is like unto it, exercise more. Exercise more, lose weight, improve diet. Number 3, what do you think number 3 is? Save more money. So you're right there. Yep, to budget, save more money. Pursue a career ambition. Quit smoking. That's a good one. To do a renovation on the home. Our New Year's resolution for the church is to get done up there. right. Learn a new skill or hobby. Volunteer more. Spend more time with family and friends. And the list goes on and on. But usually among the top of the charts every year has to do with health. Has to do with weight or diet or health. This is an important consideration. We do want to be good stewards of our health, but this idea of being heart healthy is everywhere in commercials. I can remember the Cheerios. That's all the heart healthy breakfast, and I can remember there was a my wife's nodding her head. She knows what ad I'm talking about. There was this ad, I don't know if it was on TV or on YouTube or what it was, but it was about heart-healthy California walnuts. And they said that phrase so many times that it's ingrained into my brain, heart-healthy California walnuts. This health craze. And if you're going to be heart-healthy in the new year, what do they say? Well, number one, you need to not consume, don't smoke or use tobacco. That's a big one. You need to get moving. You need to exercise more. Aim for at least 30 to 60 minutes of activity daily. Eat a heart healthy diet of vegetables and beans and fruits and legumes and all of those other miserable things that you're supposed to eat. Lean meats. I don't know, if you go back and you look at the Old Testament, when they did the sacrifices, they were to take that fat and give it to the Lord, right? So that's the best part. But anyway, the lean meats and fish, low fat or fat-free dairy foods, whole grains, healthy fats, such as olive oil, maintain a healthy weight. That's a big one. And then there's the conversation about good calories and bad calories. Early on in my wife and I's marriage, we were it was during our time of deputation, actually toward the end of that, I believe. She's looking at me like I got my timeline wrong. But anyway, there was a time when we were married where this happened, all right, where Lydia and I wanted and needed to go on a diet. And I needed to lose weight and she needed to gain weight. Isn't that miserable? Can you imagine having to gain weight? Oh, man, I said, well, if we could just, you know, if I could just give some to you, we'd be good, you know. But we got that app where it tells you how many calories you're supposed to eat at your height, and we put all those stuff in, and then it gives you how much calories you're supposed to eat a day. And our calorie amount was the same. She was trying to gain and I was trying to lose. And we'd get to the end of the day and I'd be starving. And she would be like, I don't want to eat anymore, but I still got more calories I got to eat. And so being the loving husband that I am, I went and I bought her donuts. And I said, I can't eat them, but I can watch you eat them and get some enjoyment out of it. Here are some calories. And she says, those aren't good calories. Those are bad calories. I said, Lydia, that's the kind of thought process that got you into this mess, needing to gain weight. But, you know, we're all about this healthy, heart healthy, being heart healthy and maintaining healthy weight. Another aspect would be getting good sleep, managing stress, and having regular health screenings to watch your blood pressure, cholesterol levels, diabetes, and so forth. And it goes to show that people today will fundamentally change their way of life to avoid a heart disease, all the while neglecting the heart that's mentioned here in Proverbs chapter 4. He says, keep your heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence. You ought to give some attention to it. Keep your heart. What is your heart? Well, what is your heart? Well, the heart, one commentator said it this way, the heart is the seat and fountainhead of all life. As the heart is the center of motion to the circulation body, which is the life, so spiritually, as the seat of the desires and affections, it is designed to be the center and foundation of the heavenly life. But by the fall, it's become the corrupt fountain of which proceed evil thoughts and all that is bad in word and deed. This heart is the center of a person. Why should we keep our heart? Why should we give consideration to our heart? Well, he says, for out of it are the issues of life. All that you and I do is a direct result of the state of your heart. Matthew 15:19 says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. Where'd all those come from? From right here, from the heart. Matthew 12:34 says this, O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Matthew 12:35, the next verse there says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. You need to keep our heart, that seat and center of our desires, our affections, our emotions, that's our heart. To keep, what does it mean to keep? It's a very simple word, four letters. We use it so often to keep. This word keep in this context means not simply to keep and to retain in that way, but also to detain from departure, to keep in the subjection, to how about this, to preserve from falling or from danger, to protect, to guard or sustain. Yeah, to have custody of, to restrain. I like that definition, to restrain or prevent from advancing. He says, keep your heart. What does it mean? Restrain it. Rein it in. Keep it within its boundaries. Psalm 19, verse 13 says this, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. And he says, keep me back from presumptuous sins. He's saying, God, restrain me. Preserve me from falling. Keep me in your custody and in your care. And that's what he says we're to do with our hearts, to keep it in subjection, to restrain, to prevent it from advancing to a place it doesn't need to go. But the world preaches the opposite. The world says, follow your heart. The world says, be who you want to be. Follow your truth. Nonsense. Follow your heart. But the scripture says, don't let your heart go where it wants to. Restrain your heart. Prevent your heart from running away from you. Keep your heart in check. It's as if our heart might be a untrained horse that is spirited and wants to go all over the place. And Solomon is saying here, son, you've got to restrain your heart. Solomon, the wise father, is warning his son, your heart and desires, your feelings, your emotions, your cravings, your passions are going to pull you in every direction under the sun. But son, it's your job to keep it under control. It's your job to rein it in. You are the keeper of your heart. You are responsible to keep those appetites and passions and emotions under subjection. And in many ways, we call that temperance, keeping our passions under control. Oh, but the world preaches another thing. The world says, follow your heart. Do what feels good. Do what you think. Do what you're passionate about. What if we're passionate about something that's sinful? That passion is misplaced. What if our heart is telling us to do something? Our emotions, our cravings, our desires are telling us to do something contrary to this book right here. And let me tell you, our heart tells us those things all the time. But why is it that we've progressed in society so far to the point that if someone's heart tells them, well, really, you should be a boy when you're a girl, or a girl when you're a boy, or all messed up and confused, why is it that we live in a society that tries to support and affirm someone who's following their heart to a place that is confusion and is destructive and is harmful to that person? Why are we supporting that? Why? Because the world has bought the lie that we're just supposed to follow our heart, but we're supposed to restrain it. We're supposed to keep it in check. We're supposed to own up to the responsibility that I am the keeper of my heart. I need to keep my emotions under control. I need to keep my passions under subjection. Solomon says, protect and guard your heart. Keep your heart. A.R. Fawcett says this, more than all things else requiring to be kept diligently, such as one's treasures, house, or body, we ought to keep the heart that it be not tainted with error or sink into vice, for it is prone to evil and beset with adversaries on all sides. I think he nailed it on the head right there. Jeremiah 17:9 says this, the heart is what? Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, I'm just going to follow my heart. Well, let me tell you, you don't know where that's going to end, but it's probably not going to end somewhere good. Who can know it? Protect your heart, but also protect yourself from your heart. What do we mean? By bringing that into subjection, all of your members. Romans 6:13 says this, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield your members unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. We see many parts of the body that are mentioned in here. We see eyes and feet and so on and so forth. But let's wrap our mind around something before we get to the rest of the text. Two thoughts here. The first is this: your actions, whether good or bad, whether sinful or righteous, your actions reveal the state of your heart. They reveal where your heart is at. We just read the verse in Matthew 12:35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. So if your heart is corrupt, your speech will be corrupt. What you do will be corrupt. Your actions reveals where your heart is at. But there's something that we can turn that on its head, and it's still true in the sense that your actions, whether good or bad, sinful or righteous, they affect the state of your heart. So not only does what you do reveal where your heart is at, your actions have an effect upon your heart, leading it and taking it into the direction of how you're behaving and what you're doing. For instance, Proverbs 16:3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And so these two go hand in hand. They work in tandem with one another in the sense that maybe one might say, garbage in, garbage out. If you're filling your heart with these things, it will come out. Now, Matthew 15:11 says, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. He says, keep your heart with all diligence. And to do that involves keeping your entire person under control. Not just your heart, but what your heart is connected to. The different aspects of what we do, what we say. Notice, if you would, number one, we need to keep our heart. Number two, we need to keep our ears. Keep our ears. Look at verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. What is he saying? He's saying, son, listen up. Listen up. Attend to my word. That word attend, it means to heed, listen to, pay attention to. A flight attendant is one who attends and pays attention to the people. We need to attend to the words of God. We need to pay attention to what God's word says. We need to focus upon it. But he doesn't just say, attend to my words. Listen to what I'm saying. He says, incline thine ear. Literally, it means this. Bend your ear over so that you can hear better. Incline thine ear. Psalm 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse with what? The washing of the water by the word. Solomon is telling his son, and he's telling us tonight, listen up. Pay attention to the word of God. Incline your ear to the word of God. Attend to his words. So there's some things that we need to listen to, the word of God. We need to incline our ear to it. But then he mentions later in verse 24, that which we should not listen to, that which we should not let come into the ears. We need to listen and pay attention and attend to the word of God. But notice what it says in verse 24, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Is he saying that we shouldn't speak that way, or that we shouldn't listen to those things? The answer is yes. If we listen to those things and do not put frowardness, and what does that word froward mean? The word froward, it means out of order, perverse, that which is turning from God, not willing to yield or comply with what is required. Stubborn mouths. He says, put away from thee a froward mouth, and a perverse lips put far from thee. He says, don't listen to those that speak perversely. It takes a toll upon a Christian when a Christian has to be in an environment that is filled with profanity. It grieves the spirit within you. And it's hurtful. It's not healthy. I understand sometimes, men, as you work a job, you're around some rougher individuals, and that's just part of living in the sin-cursed world. I understand that. And you be careful. You need to be careful not just of those that are perverse in that sense, but those that speak with rebellion and disobedience is also the idea. Proverbs 6:12, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. Deuteronomy 32:20, and he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. It means those who are speaking in a way that is contrary to God and His way. He says, put away, renounce, and depart from those. Put away those things. The froward mouth, it's an abomination to the Lord, it says in Proverbs 3:32. But he also speaks of that perverse lip, those crooked and corrupt speech. He says, put it far from the, do your best to avoid that. Don't listen to garbage. What comes into your ears will fill your heart. And if you're going to keep your heart, you must keep the ear gate. You must be careful as to what you let into your mind and into your heart through your ears. Man, there are so many things in this world that are blasting at us at such high volume. Every area, every direction that we turn, we're seeing filth. Profanity, we're hearing profanity, we're seeing filth, and it's not because we sought it out, it's because the world is blasting it at us, trying to distract, trying to corrupt. That's the way of the devil, but it's so, the world is so loud that sometimes we have to, on purpose, incline our ear, put all those things aside and say, God, I'm putting all of this away so that I can pay attention to what your word says. You know, when we incline our ears, it's when you get up early in the morning and open your Bible, read God's word. You're saying, God, I'm putting my phone that's blasting nonsense. I'm putting the TV, turning that off. We're going to have some quiet time. And God, I want to incline my ear to hear what you have for me today. When we incline our ear, it's when we come to church and say, God, I know I have so many things in my schedule that are important, that aren't sinful, aren't wrong, but they're demanding of my time. But I'm setting all those aside, and I'm inclining my ear to the Word of God. Yeah, we need to incline our ears. We need to keep our ear. We need to pay attention to what we listen to and be careful to avoid perverse things. Avoid those who take part in gossip and crooked talk, and distance yourself from people that grumble and complain. Yeah, keep your heart. Keep your ears. Number three, keep your eyes. Keep your eyes. Notice verse 21. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my saying. But verse 21 says, let them not depart from thy, what, eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. So we understand that what we hear affects our heart, but also what we see affects our heart. Lamentations 3, verse 51 says, mine eye affecteth mine heart. Keep your eyes. What are we supposed to keep our eyes on? The Word of God. The Word of God. Exodus 13:16 says, and it shall be for a token upon thine hand and for frontlets between thine eyes. For by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. To read the Word of God. It says, keep it before your eyes. Frontlets between thine eyes. Read the Word of God. When we read the Word of God, when we memorize the Word of God, when we spend time daily in the Word of God, you know what happens? So we begin to think about the Word of God. We begin to think about passages of Scripture that we've read. And there are so many times as I'll be preparing for a message and it's on my mind and I'm thinking through those things and I go through an experience just in that week and I'm thinking, God, what you've said in your word, it's happening right here. I see this right here in this situation. You see, when we have our mind stayed upon the Word of God, that will help our heart also stay where it needs to stay. Need to keep our eyes on the Word of God. We see that in verse 21. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. You know, Bible memorization is not just for the young ones. That's for all of us. You need to memorize the Word of God and meditate and chew upon it. But also, we need to keep our eyes on the Word of God, but we need to keep our eyes off some things. Notice verse 25, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Immediately, gentlemen, we know exactly what this is saying. When you're out in society and the filth pops up on a billboard, or it pops up my way of someone dressed in a way that's very provocative, and the attire of a harlot, the Bible says, what do? Look straight on. Watch your eyes. I remember as a teenage boy, we would be going about business with my dad. We'd be out and about in town in Beijing or whatever the situation may be. Maybe we were back in the States, but many times we'd get into a situation where there was obviously something vile, whether it was an advertisement, whether it was someone dressed inappropriate or something going on inappropriate. All that my dad would say is, watch your eyes, boys. Watch your eyes. Be careful where you're looking. Be careful. Those sinful, lustful images. David was a man who didn't control his eyes, and it got him into trouble. He saw something he shouldn't see, but instead of moving on and not dwelling on it, he continued to look. Job 31:1 says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? We live in a day that is full of pornographic material in television. And it's scenes that are inappropriate. We live in a day where pornography is so rampant and easy to access through the phone that's in your hand. But what do we need to do? Let our eyes look straight on. Don't let your eyes look on things that are inappropriate. The lust of the eyes, not always lustful or sexual images. You may look with your eyes and have the lust of the eyes in the sense of as you become covetous to the things of another person. I do something that, as we'll be driving, Lydia will be in the seat next to me, and we'll be driving, and somebody will be next to us in like one of those trucks, you know. It's like three times taller than our minivan, and it's just, you know, and I just look over there, man, that's a nice truck. And I always joke with Lydia. But, you know, sometimes if we're not careful, we can let our eyes get a little too covetous on some things. And that covetous spirit can affect our heart. The Bible says the love of money, I believe it's in Timothy, it says they've been pierced through with many sorrows. It's not a good thing. Distractions. Sometimes our eyes get distracted, not even by sinful things, not by covetousness, not by sinful things. But you know, sometimes what the devil does is he realizes maybe he can't get us through some sin over here. He can't get us through some covetousness over here. So what he'll do is he'll bring along something that we really enjoy that's not sinful. But we obsess over that thing, and our eyes are so focused upon this thing that we like to do, whether it's something we like to do or you fill in the blank. But what it begins to do is it begins to consume us and it distracts from the most important thing. Even distracting from our time at church, distracting from our time in the Word of God, that'd be a moment where we need to watch our eyes and be careful as to what our focus is. Need to keep your ears, keep your eyes. Lastly, keep your feet. Keep your feet. It says in verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Ponder your path. Give consideration to your life direction. When there's a big decision in life, when it comes to a job, when it comes to a move, when it comes to one of those decisions that you know it's a big one and it's going to affect your family, it's going to affect different major aspects of your life, maybe your children. In those moments, it's very important that we ponder our steps. And we say, God, am I making a step that is in accordance to your will? Or am I making a step that is going to ultimately pull me away from what you want me to do? Many times we've seen families in Tennessee growing up and coming back to Bethel Baptist Church here on Furlough, and seeing families that had moved away and hear stories and realize that someone had made a move for their career. And they didn't think about their church. They didn't think about, I know that's a good job over there, But is there a Bible-believing church there for me to attend? Is this going to be a good thing for my family? And some have left God's will in the sense of God's never going to lead us to a place where there is no good church to attend. You understand that? God's will for a Christian is to be in church, right? And that's a very extreme example. But many times we can make life decisions in a fleshly way based upon our heart, our emotions, based upon our desires and our passions. And it's in those moments we need to ponder the path of our feet, examine our life direction, examine our actions. He says, establish our ways. Let all thy ways be established. He said, well, how do we establish our direction? Well, Proverbs 3:6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. What does that mean? Do what you know is his will, and he will reveal to you what you don't know is his will. He will lead you step by step. He set some guidelines. Determine that we're not going to make a decision, no matter how we feel about it, if it's contradictory to what God's word. Set some of those things in stone. Stay on track. No, I love verse 27. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. If you can get on your face before God and say, God, I genuinely believe I'm right where God wants me to be, doing what God wants me to be. Praise the Lord for that. Turn not to the left nor to the right. Don't get off track. Stay where God has you. Do what God has you to do. You know, maybe there's an area of your life or a decision you've made or a choice that's been made where when you get on your face before God, you realize that it was made incorrectly. It was made in a fleshly way, in the sense that you're following your heart rather than God's will for your life. Well, I'm thankful, he says, remove thy foot from evil. What can we do? We can get back on track. We can straighten those things out. So here it is tonight. If we're going to keep our heart, we'll have to keep our ears, have to keep our eyes, we have to keep our feet. Just some simple thoughts here from the Word of God to encourage you in this new year to keep your heart, restrain it, keep it in check. And we want to be all that we can be for God, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, if our hearts get off track, we're not going to be able to serve God and bring glory to Him as we should.